What's the worst job you've ever had? I sprinkled mud onto potatoes that had already been washed, so they'd look freshly dug when they hit the supermarket. Most depressing holiday job I've ever had. There are some terrible jobs on here, but this is so brilliantly, horribly futile, incomprehensibly pointless. I spent a week working the business end of the MechSep 2000, the actual name of the machine is repressed deep down inside me, which was a grinding horror that separated tiny scraps of chicken meat from splinters of bone. The chicken was delivered in frozen 10-kilogram blocks. Me and three or four other chosen ones had the task of breaking up the gore block with a chisel and feeding it into the mechanical maw. One day, one of our blocks consisted entirely of wishbones. Thousands of them. I've had terrible jobs, but nothing compares to this guy that called into a radio contest for worst job titles, as his was Chicken Butthole Remover. He stood on the slaughter line and made sure the carcasses were butthole free. If they weren't, it was his job to fix it. Tell us why you won this job.
Well, I've always been passionate about not eating chicken buttholes, so I figured I could do some good in the world. Just making sure one family doesn't accidentally consume chicken poo strainer is enough for me.
Dancing Bear. I was a waiter at a kid's restaurant which had a bear as its mascot. The new guy had to be the bear on their first day, which meant putting on a massive bear costume over our waiter's uniform, including a huge fur head that you could barely see out of. You were then led around the place to wave at the parents and play with the kids once per hour. If you spoke, you were fired, as some of these kids were return customers who would recognize the waiter's voice. Wanting to impress my boss, I really hammed it up. I danced, I gestured, I goofed around, I sat on a mother's lap. I ruffled a father's hair while he growled, "Get off me or I'll stab you." The boss loved it so much that he made me be the bear every day that I worked there. Which would be great, except that it was August and so hot that the restaurant's aircon broke. The bear suit hadn't been washed in the history of the restaurant, so served as a memorial to the sweat of 100 fallen waiters. Little kids would run headfirst at the bear and headbutt my family jewels with depressing regularity, and all it earned me was the disgust of my wait team who thought I was goofing off work by being the bear, since it was clearly easier than carrying two plates of reheated lasagna across the room and refilling drinks. As many other commenters noted, I was relieved when this person clarified that the job in question was someone in a bear costume and not a live bear in a children's restaurant. Admittedly, the bear's job in that theoretical situation wouldn't be great either. Cutting fancy glass for use in mosaics. A glass cutter is basically a pen with a small metal wheel at one end and a metal ball on the other. Fancy glass is thick, heavy, expensive, and sharp. The weight, thickness, and texture changes drastically. One might be a 3 cm smooth green glass sheet, and the next might be a textured 5 cm piece of orange. There is no training. And glass dust is a thing. My fingertips were swollen with tiny shards of glass, and I broke much more glass than I was worth. It was a short gig.
I just can't fathom why someone would do a task like that without at least considering wearing some kind of protective glove.
Kinda reminds me of a task I used to do when I worked in some labs. We used an oxyhydrogen torch on a stand to cut or seal quartz vials. They came as a straw, and you'd cut it in half, closing each half on one end when forming the cut. Then we'd fill them with organic sample material, often powdered hair or toenails, and then use the torch and a weak vacuum to seal the open end with the sample inside. That way, the mass of the sample is permanently stored and can be irradiated and analyzed over and over. Anyway, this task essentially meant that you had to be holding this tiny little vial about the diameter of a drinking straw in a torch flame hot enough to melt freaking quartz, above 1600 degrees, in a matter of 2 seconds or so, and your bare fingers were about 2 inches from the flame. There was no way you'd have the dexterity to do it with leather gloves on, and anything else would be at risk of melting into your flesh if you accidentally got burned. That was a rather unnerving task. My worst was probably for a moving company. Everyone dreads moving day, and for me, that was every day. I liked it. New houses with new challenges and new people to charm out of tip money every day. I also got a nice workout. It was the illiterate morons I had to work with and scamming bosses that got me out of it. Hotel housekeeping. If it comes out of the human body, I've cleaned it up. I started in a by-the-hour motel when I was 14, owned by a woman who didn't bother with hazardous waste procedure and cleaned up what looked like a murder scene with nothing but bleach and kitchen gloves. I walked into that room and was absolutely positive that when I pulled back the shower curtain, there was going to be a body in the bathtub.
Thankfully, there wasn't, just blood everywhere. The owner refused to let me call the police and just made me clean it. And I didn't want to get in crap for bleaching a murder scene at 14, so I never did call the cops. That hotel owner definitely killed someone and made you clean it up. Picking mangoes in Australia. Many people are unaware that if you snap the stalk on a mango, poisonous sap flies out, which makes you blister quite dramatically. Also the best job because of the beautiful scenery. Australia, where even the fruit can kill ya. I worked at a slaughterhouse for a little while. They killed steers there, but got pork shipped in. The hams came in a giant cardboard vat, probably 5 feet wide and 4 feet deep. They were heavily waxed on the inside to make them waterproof and had steel banding running around the outside, kind of like an old keg or barrel. Once we fished out most of the hams and trimmed them, there was always a couple of feet of blood at the bottom. As the new guy, it was my job to dangle over the edge with a meat hook in one hand, fishing out the remaining hams and scraps. Usually, it was about an hour in shoulder-deep blood with your face next to the surface. I worked in an office, entry-level job after a career switch. My boss was a crazy woman, never happy, never satisfied, always changing her mind and blaming everyone else. One day, she called me into her office and she gave me two projects, and got mad when I asked her questions about how she wanted them. At the end of the meeting, I asked her, "Which of these two do you need first?" Her answer, "Both." I thought she had misunderstood my question, so I repeated, "But which of them do you need first?" "Both." "No, really, which of these two do you need first?" Her answer at this point was yelling, "Both, both, 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 both." A few months later, I had enough of her crap and I went to HR to complain about her treatment of the staff. Of course, she had a friend in the HR department and she got wind of it. And she called me in her office and she complained about me complaining about her. And she told me, "You don't complain here, you leave." That was my clue. I called my headhunter and found myself a new, better job with better pay. A few years later, I'd built my career and I was actually ahead of her in responsibility and position. I met her at a conference and she was giving false praise how I was one of the best workers she'd ever had and then rhetorically asked me why I left, in front of other people. I told her that I had to thank her for my career since she was the one who suggested I leave by telling me, "You don't complain here, you leave." She really didn't like that one. A lovely bit of vicarious justice for those of us who've ever had a crappy and insincere manager in their lives. Revenge like this is very sweet indeed. Door-to-door solar panel salesman for a corrupt home energy company. Nothing better than knocking on someone's front door right in the middle of a Patriots game. I did door-to-door home renovations, windows, doors, sliding, etc., right after the 2008 market crash. I can't tell you how many people told me they weren't going to be able to make their next mortgage payment, let alone spend $20,000 on new windows. Soul-crushing. Crash or no crash, it's still pretty hard even now when the economy is not so bad and people still can't afford $20,000 on new windows. Internship at a public relations firm in college. I was promised agency experience, writing opportunities, and valuable experience. Turns out what they actually meant was sitting in a room for 8 hours, cold calling CEOs from an outdated call list and trying to trick them into a sales presentation. Might I add, about a month into the job, they hired a new intern manager who was the epitome of Massachusetts trash. Drove to work every day from the Cape on his Harley, it was 2 hours one way, and lauded his degree from Bunker Hill Community College. He chain-smoked and DJed on the side at trash North Shore nightclubs. He insisted on sitting in the room with us for 8 hours to check if we were actually making calls, all while berating us for being poor employees and cheap labor. On my last day of the internship, he called me into his office and told me, "The only reason you're still here is because we didn't have to pay you. You'll never be successful like me. You're not cut out for the business world. If I were you, I'd drop out and try to find a trade you'll succeed in." Even as a 19-year-old, I knew an idiot when I saw one. I looked him square in the eye and said, "You can go F yourself," and walked out with the other interns. He then wrote a letter of complaint to my school to try and have my internship credit revoked. But luckily my advisor knew the situation and cut him out. Dan the DJ, if you're reading this, I want you to know I took your advice and did my best to never become you. Being poor means being willing to do effed up things for tiny bits of money, so I've had more sucky jobs than I can count. But the one that stands out the most is door-to-door political fundraising and canvassing. This was back in the early 90s. The way it worked was that you had a clipboard, a pen, petition, and some envelopes. The whole crew would meet at the office and then pile into the 15-passenger vans. The supervisor would drive us out to a territory, or turf, anywhere from 10 minutes to 2 hours away from the office. Then they would divide us into pairs and give each pair of canvases a map marked with the pair's assigned turf. If I recall correctly, we started knocking on doors around 3 or 4 p.m. and kept it up until 8 p.m. In that time, we were supposed to knock on people's doors and talk to them about whatever issue we were working on at that point. When I did my brief stint, it was nursing home reform legislation. Then we were supposed to get the occupant to sign our petition and make a contribution, preferably a check or charge, on the spot. Our nightly quota was $120 per person. If you think that people hate having telemarketers call their houses at dinner time to ask them for money, just imagine how much they love it when those same telemarketers show up unannounced on their front doorsteps. Between crappy weather, vicious dogs, smackheads and tweakers answering the door, people's pervasive hatred of trespassers and solicitors, and constant fear of being fired for missing my quota, field canvassing was definitely one of the worst jobs I've ever had.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.
You can submit your own stories to be featured here on the channel. The story submission link is in the description below. And if you want to listen to some vibey music in the background, check out Easy Mode, also linked below, and subscribe. I worked at a used car lot for about a month, my first summer home from college. Pay was decent and under the table. The summer of 2001, I was getting paid $15 an hour, which was awesome for a college kid looking to save up for beer money in the fall. I was the lot boy and prepped the cars that were sold, charged up the batteries on the ones that had been sitting for a while, and picked up lunch for the sales team. Overall, it wasn't bad, but the work was tedious in the sun, and the people that I worked with were odd. Sales guy 1. When he wasn't selling used cars, he was a bouncer or door guy at a third-rate adult club. He would borrow our high-end SUVs to drive escorts on the weekends, without the boss knowing. He would have me put dealer plates on them after the owner left on Saturday afternoons. Sales guy 2. This was a peak rap or rock era, and he dressed and acted like a Fred Durst clone. Bragged about how he had multiple girlfriends and would make them bring him food at alternating times. One afternoon, the lunch schedule got crossed and we had an amazing, trashy girl fight in the parking lot. The office manager was the former girlfriend of Sales Guy 1 and Sales Guy 2, who retired from dancing at the club to go straight. She still escorted on the weekends, though. Processed finance applications and did the cash drops at the bank. The owner. He paid everything in cash and specialized in selling cars for just below $10,000. Every Friday, we had a customer who would come in and co-sign on a crappy Nissan Altima with 80K on it and would pay in cash. Always from New York or North Jersey. I just assumed they were engaging in substance dealing or human trafficking. Our mechanic was a quiet guy. He kept to himself and would listen to classic rock all day. After about a week, he told me he was happy for the job as he had been away for a while. He was good about showing me how to work on engines, and we would hang out in the garage drinking Miller High Life out of paper cups. The guy loved Steely Dan. After about a month, I noped right out of there. While the pay was good, the ongoing drama of the people I worked with wasn't enough to hang around. Sales guy 2 had just gotten arrested on the lot for failing to pay child support, and I knew I was just a few days away of being guilty by association or something. I was a furnace helper in a steel factory. We made bumper mounts and hinges for truck hoods and other heavy steel parts. I unloaded red-hot metal parts from the furnace with a pair of tongs. I used to catch fire 2 or 3 times a day. I hated that. Never have I seen someone so casually drop the fact that they regularly immolated themselves as part of their work. That's not far off referencing that they only had to ward off a few axe-wielding psychopaths from time to time in my book. Dealer in a casino. You learn a lot about different games and get to play cards all shift. You also make some pretty good coin with tips and whatnot. However, you get to meet some of the worst people on the planet. When people start losing money at your table, several hundred to several thousand at a time, suddenly that fun atmosphere becomes soul-suckingly tense, to the point of, you better hope you're not walking alone when you're off tonight. But you get to call your pit boss over and say, this patron just threatened me, and boom, booted out of the casino, banned for 6 months to a year, and possibility of criminal charges. Sometimes I got a nice justice semi working there. Anyone who's thinking of being a dealer, it's definitely not for everyone. If you ever wanted to work wonders for your confidence and have the ability to become a stone when it comes to people being absolute crapheads to you, I suggest it. I think back to what skills I've gained from my time dealing. I've learned to be grateful, and when I have a crap day, I remind myself that I'm not dealing anymore. When people get sarcastic or angry or crappy towards me, it doesn't bother me anymore because I've dealt, no pun intended, with the worst. If you're a student and can handle taking a lot of crap, or want to learn how to handle taking a lot of crap, try being a dealer. You make great money at the cost of your social life. You generally work nights and all through the weekends. One of the things I didn't really mention, but it's implied, when people are giving you crap at your table, you have to stand there and take it. You don't have the option to walk away. Hopefully, your pit bosses are good enough to have your back. I'm a dealer at a smaller casino, and it's the most soul-sucking job I've ever done. You see the worst in everyone, because, let's be honest, no one is ever a winner in the long-run gambling. At least your pit bosses actually throw people out for threatening dealers. Ours walk the other way or act like they don't hear the guy screaming and calling the female dealer a working girl or the C-word. I collected baby batter from chickens for artificial insemination. You have to, help get them off. Not my job. I just walk into the room and the frickers immediately begin to expel the white gold. We then have to rush them and get the collection vial in place quickly or the day's worth of product was lost. So much stuff on my gloves. Ugh. Worked for the UMG straight out of high school processing CD orders. It was still a thing back then. I was 17 and the only guy in the office, working with nothing but 40-plus-year-old women. Sweet Christ, the raunchiest conversations that led to me discovering the definition of TMI. The work was fine, just data entry, and they had a massive backlog when I arrived. In the first week, I cleared it all out, and no one in the office had anything to do, including myself. I couldn't browse the web. I brought a book into the office and was reading it, and got yelled at by my supervisor for it. I explained that I had nothing to do, and sitting around staring at nothing for 8 hours a day was torture. What about our backlog? It's gone. That can't be true. Well, go and check for yourself. They came back. Well, okay, if you have nothing to do, come and talk to me. After a week of coming to them every hour on the hour asking for something to do, and them saying they had nothing, they yelled at me again for bugging them. They eventually fired me for refusing to come in 10 minutes prior to my scheduled time, unpaid, and logging into the phones. There was nothing going on, and I sure as crap wasn't going to sit around doing nothing for one more minute than I had to, much less unpaid. A close second was many years later, I was bought into package software for a company that had bought another company. Get it up to their standards, make sure it's installed silently, etc. They didn't have a place for me to sit, so they put me in an unheated warehouse. In the winter. With massive bay doors that opened up 4 to 6 times a day for deliveries. After working there for a month, I still didn't even have a computer to work on. At the end of that month, I got a computer, but there was nothing for me to do still. It took me a week to track down my manager after this point, and he said that they wouldn't have work for me for a few more months. Aren't you lucky? You get to do nothing and collect a paycheck, he said to me. Yeah, real lucky. Then they brought on another guy for some reason to do the same job. We were both incredibly confused, to say the least. After another month and having to read about 2 dozen books, I just stopped showing up, submitted my time and checked my email every day to see if there was any work to do, as well as sending weekly emails asking if there were any tasks coming my way soon to my manager. Finally, after 2 months, they caught on and let me go. I didn't feel bad about it in the slightest. I can't believe roofing isn't on here. That is the absolute freaking worst. Pretty much like being a human egg on a griddle all day with a side order of heaving shingles around and trying not to fall and break your neck. I was a cashew flicker at a candy factory. Literally, I flicked the bad cashews off a conveyor belt. Managed a local restaurant, worked 10 to 12 hour days, often with closing and leaving at 1 a.m, only to be back to open at 8 a.m. 6 days a week with an 8 a.m. meeting on my only one full day off. Pyramid scheme selling Kirby vacuums for in-house demonstrations. I got out of that within a couple of weeks. I got offered a job doing this. I went to the interview and he said I'd earn around £2,200 a month, which sounded amazing, but I thought it was a bit too good to be true and didn't take it in the end. I didn't realize it was a pyramid scheme, though. A unanimous recurring factor on all the many terrible job, quitting, and interview stories that I've done for this channel has been how prevalent these schemes are at sneaking into the serious job market. You've been warned, folks. I took a job with a marketing company working at the mall trying to get people to take surveys. Literally hundreds of people walking right by you, refusing to make eye contact. It's like being a ghost. Horrible job, hated every second of it, I quit after 6 hours. Lifeguard. It was hours upon hours of boredom intermingled with seconds of sheer terror. Glorified cleaners. Spent most of my time cleaning changing rooms and toilets with a bit of time on poolside doing jack all. In 4 years, there was one rescue when I was on shift, and I was mopping the floor in reception. Lifeguard is the best job I've had. For one, our rules were probably a bit different, but I worked at a beach, and by our rules, we could only sit for half an hour at a time. So in an 8 hour day, we only worked a max of 4 hours. The other four, we would read a book or something. Also, as a lifeguard, you could check out hot women and not be seen as a creep. I didn't actually take the job, but it would have been the worst by far. I applied for a position in an industrial bakery as a sanitation technician. As advertised, the job would entail disassembling, cleaning, and reassembling equipment. But when I showed up for my interview, really an informal orientation, the nice lady told me I would actually be standing at one end of a conveyor belt and given one simple task: to pick up trays of bread coming off the conveyor belt, rotate them 90 degrees, and place them on a different belt for the entire duration of my 12-hour overnight shift. It would have nearly doubled my pay, but I just couldn't do it. I put my little hat back on and went back to rolling burritos. Even in the darkest, most horrible, open-to-close days of my time at the burrito restaurant, I would console myself with the thought of that job and how much worse things could be. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. Put the playlist on in the background to finish listening to all the stories, or if you want some vibey music to put on in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Genius, give Am I the Jerk a shot. Everything linked in the description.